Voices of Hope is a podcast of New Hope Presbyterian Church of Castle Rock, Colorado. New Hope is a church that puts people first. You can listen to our sermons and podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and any other popular podcast platforms. This week, Pastor Russ brings us a sermon called Gathered for Hope. It takes a look at how community that is deep, abiding, loving, and honest is both the result of the work of God and the way God works to create people of hope.
Having to do with the people of hope. And I talked about hope as an invitation from the future. It comes to us in nudges. It comes to us in inspiration. It comes to us in resilience. It comes to us in this sense of, nevertheless, I am going to do this because I sense this has something to do with what God is doing, and I believe that's true. I believe that's what lasts. We began by talking about the need for hope, particularly at this time, because this is the time where we are even more aware of the hopelessness that without hope, we perish. We die. And alongside of hopelessness is this symptom and this partner, which is loneliness. Loneliness and hopelessness go hand in hand. And the pandemic that we have right now has not so much caused loneliness any more than it's caused hopelessness. But it certainly has exacerbated it. It has revealed it, hasn't it? It has maybe accelerated it. It has shown what very little sense of reserves that we have. I don't think there's any study that has shown anything different than the ones that are saying in the last year that more people are feeling more disconnected. By one count, at least 25% of the population is feeling at least more disconnected than before. Here's the startling one that caught me, though. Those who are 18 to 25 report that they are feeling more disconnected and lonely than ever. 61%. When Medicare does theirs, which is on the other end of the spectrum, and they're talking 40% of the people who are feeling more and more disconnected. And then these large degrees of people who are feeling stressed and anxious and lonely and sad. When the American Psychiatric Association says that loneliness is a bigger threat to your and my health than things like obesity. That should catch our attention, particularly since what is being shown to us is something that is not being caused by, but being exacerbated by what is already there. We are literally dying of loneliness. Wouldn't it be great if there was a place that could combat that? Wouldn't it be great if there was a place where people could gather and they know they belonged? And in the midst of the feeling of detached, people are celebrated, where people feel supported, where there is encouragement, that when people are feeling weaker, they come and get strengthened, where there is comfort, where there is solace, where there is inclusion, where people are championed and celebrated. Wouldn't that be an amazing thing and an amazing gift to this world? Can you imagine that? We don't have to imagine too far, do we? The passage that we read today, here's some of that which was going on in the church in the second chapter of Acts, the earliest church within weeks of the resurrection. It talks about things like a sense of awe coming over people, and there's signs and wonders and generosity that is pouring out. This bespeaks a vibrant community. This bespeaks a place of celebration, an unparalleled kind of generosity. This bespeaks and begins and introduces a word that shows up 20 times in the New Testament for the first time here, and it's called koinonia. Sometimes it's called fellowship or community. But it is koinonia, and it has been used, and it gets used exclusively for this particular phenomena of a community of sharing, of compassion, of love, encouragement with Christ at the center. It is having all things in common because of what they have in common. Now, mind you, they don't have everything in common. These are not people who are like each other or even like each other. But there is something here that is going on that becomes the litmus test of Christian community. It is also the means by which people of hope are created. There are four questions that I want to hold up for us in these next several weeks. Here's the first one. This week we're going to ask this question, and I hope that you will be able to rumble on this and let that come up with answers better and better every day, every week. With whom do you gather to nurture your soul? Whom do you gather to nurture your soul with hope and encouragement and strength? When I say this, I know we're going to think, well, he's talking about a program or he's talking about life groups. Sure, those things, but it's more than that. This is a question about wherever you are. And to the degree that you can answer this question, I believe we become more and more a people of hope. We become closer to that model or that first gathering of people in the book of Acts. We become the people who are the new creation. This is the group of people that says, we are gathered because we sense that God is up to something and that we are living out what that is, that we are saying that God is doing something in our midst that is real, and we want to invest in that. This is what hope looks like. And if you're at least half honest, you're maybe going, well, great. And on the other part, you're going, wait. Is this actually what I see? When people come to our church, when people come to any community, are they going, yeah, that's what this is? Or are they going, wait, we seem to be missing something. Let's acknowledge both, shall we? Let's acknowledge that there is this aspiration of a community, and we get tastes of it, and we get foretastes of it, and we get little bits of it ahead of time. But let's also acknowledge that a lot of times we fall way short of that kind of a community. And our passage, I think, not only calls that into question, but I think it also gives us a clue. Because before all of that stuff, that's great stuff that's going on, it says, and here's how that happened. It's easy to run by this, that the believers devoted themselves to the teaching, to the community, koinonia, their shared meals, and their prayers. The people of hope look like because of what they do. This is what makes the other possible. So you have heard me talk about the power of habits, of getting into the habits, of building the habits into the kinds of things to create the kind of life we want to create. I know that is not a popular thing. We hope keep waiting for something more. But here it is that they gathered. They gathered so that these kinds of things could take place because they were so similar. These were people who had nothing in common. They didn't speak the same language, as we find out just earlier in this same chapter. They come from different ethnicities, different nationalities. They don't share the same opinions. They're not from the same class. They have none of the things that you and I would think would be the things that you had to have if you're going to have a tight-knit community. We think you have to have a lot of things in common, a lot of affinity. They had none of those things except this. They truly believed that God was up to something, and they wanted to give their lives to it. And they know they needed one another to do it. They needed one another to do it, and so they gathered. There are four habits. There are four habits that I've distilled, and I'm saying these are the habits. These are the things that we need to do if we're going to become the people of hope in our time and place. It is the habit of gathering. It's the habit of learning. It's the habit of praying, and it's the habit of serving. To the degree that we have those things built in, that is the degree to which we become that kind of community. We model, we nurture, we become the community of hope. We become the people of hope. It begins with the habits. If you want to change your life, change your habits. Here's what I've noticed, because I came late to this understanding. I used to think, and when I first got into ministry and first was in the church, I used to think it was about information. If people just had the right information, if they had just the right ideas about God, that would change their lives, and it is terribly important. Then I used to think, well, it's not just information, then there needs to be this combination of inspiration and information so that people wanted to do something. And I still believe those two things are important. But here's the third leg of that three-legged stool, that if you don't have it, the whole thing collapses, and it's what you do with what you've been inspired and what you know about. It's what you do. And habits are the key to what you do or you don't do. We are creatures of habit. And this habit of gathering was so essential to the early church that later on in the book of Hebrews, there's even this exhortation, don't stop meeting together with other believers, which some people have gotten into the habit of doing. It's all habit. Whether we gather together or don't gather together, they're both habits. We are creatures of habit. Why not use the habits that get us to where we want to? Instead, let's gather together. Let's encourage one another in this time of testing that is coming. I don't know if you have noticed, I've noticed that through this period, the people who seem to have done the best are the people who have reported they are connected. The people who even thrive are the ones who have gathered, whether in the same room or whether they've gathered online or they've gathered by phone, and somehow they have found ways to stay connected. The people who seem to struggle the most are the people who are the most detached and isolated. If you want to break someone down, isolate them. If you want to torture somebody, isolate them. If you want to grow somebody, put them in a community. I'm not talking about a program. I'm not talking about something that we need to do in order so that God will love us more, or we get brownie points, or, you know, not get demerits because we didn't come to church. Some of us came from that period. We're glad that it's over. Neither am I suggesting that when we gather, whether in worship or our groups or other places, that it just becomes, we do it just because we're supposed to. It becomes dutiful drudgery, even though we are bored. But I am noting that if this invitation from the future comes and says to gather this work of hope, too many times people RSVP with a pass. And the effects are damaging, but the effects of when we say yes can be amazing. I'll tell you a story. One of the groups that I find and that nourishes me, one of the ones that, if you were to ask me, what is the group that nurtures your soul? One of those groups that I hang out with is the group that we call, that meets in, for something called Oasis. It meets for contemplative prayer. I'm not suggesting you all come. I'm not even suggesting it may be your cup of tea. I'm just saying this nurtures me. This particular group nurtures me in places. And when we gather, good things happen. We gathered in person for the first time in 20 months, a couple weeks ago. Maybe it was last Sunday. And we gathered down at that sanctuary center that's down off of the 105 in Wolfensberger. You can miss it easy, but it's there. And we were there, and we had this wonderful time. And because we gathered, there was this sharing. And there was heartfelt sharing. Life was given back and forth, and we heard from one another. And then about 5 minutes before we were going to leave, somebody walks in. Anybody can walk into this place, it doesn't matter. But this was a person who walked in, and it became apparent he needed to be there. We invited him to stick around, said, hey, we're gonna be out of here in about 5 minutes, don't worry about it, but come. He said, I'd like to. He sat down. Within 5 minutes at the end, he had tears coming down his face. I don't know all the reasons, but it became apparent that he needed to be in that place. He needed to be in a room with people who were sharing life, who had gathered together. Not every time we gather do those things happen. But it is far less likely that those things happen if we don't. If that group hadn't had a life together and decided to meet in that time, in that place would not have been available for him. You can't script what goes on when we gather, and it doesn't always work out. But here's what I can tell you happens when we don't gather. When we don't gather, who is going to come and welcome the visitor for the first time who needs a place and a community of hope? Who will acknowledge and who will greet? Who will be the one who says, I see you in all the ways that we do that? I celebrate you in all the ways that we do that. It is so good to be with you. How do we give and receive love if we haven't gathered? And I'm not just talking about in the room, because I know we gather online as well. In fact, one of the things that we're putting out and asking people to do is, even as we have greeters who meet you out there and welcome you, and the first face you hopefully see at New Hope when you come here is a smiling face, someone who's excited to see you and said, boy, it's good to see you. We'd like to do the same thing online. We'd like to have some ambassadors, online ambassadors, doing the same thing for the online community, so that it becomes not just a group of people who are watching a screen, but becomes more and more a part of a virtual community, because it still matters. If you, and I guess I'm looking more at the people who are in the online community watching us, if you find yourself participating virtually and would like to be and help warm up and give hospitality and welcome to all of those who come online, there is a way to do that. You'll see that notice when you're online at the end of the service, or for all of us, if you go to the next steps on our webpage, it'll have a place that says, yeah, I'm interested in doing that, tell me more. Because that's how important it is. That's how important it is. And it's not so that we so that God is checking off boxes so that we are more acceptable and loved by God. That's already tough. This is for the sake and the nature of our soul. And by the way, if we are coming and we are bored out of our minds to our various groups that we're a part of, which is all of us some of the time, but if that becomes a recurring thing, maybe could it possibly be that God is even more bored? That God is even more bored with what's going on, because it really is not seeming to do with life. Here's the good news. The God of Acts 2 is still alive and well in 2021. God is still changing lives, and God is still bringing strength, and God is still bringing courage, and God is still strengthening, and God is bringing and inviting people to a way of hope. And maybe today what we decide to do is that we will open ourselves up and begin to show up in those places where it might happen. At the end of this verse is this passage. And it says that the Lord added daily to the community of those who were being saved. I know some of us came out of a tradition where saved was something that had to do with your standing with God. It was once for all. There is that aspect of it. But in this context, it also means the idea that becoming more and more the people God created us to be, more and more whole, more and more a place for hope. And it became a place where more and more, because they were doing the work of hope, more and more people were becoming the people of hope. It's both and I guess that's why I like to C.S. Lewis quote so much. I believe with all my heart, C.S. Lewis said, that we are starved for true connection and true spiritual community. We need both in order to nurture the life of our hearts. Our union with Christ matters supremely, but true connection with others fans the flames and keeps us growing through challenges. We are in a time of challenges. Wouldn't it be great if there was a place that we were a part of, that we gave ourselves to, that could bring hope. God is here. The question, the invitation is, are we? Will we? And the challenge for this season is to let worship be the formational event, because worship is the place where we gather, it is where we learn, it is where we pray, it is where we serve. All of those happen. To find a way to make this part of your habit this fall, whether you are here in the room, whether you are online, whether you do that with groups, find some way to connect, and then find one other place in your life where you can gather. With whom will you gather to nurture your soul? Where you get to express your gifts. Where you get to practice getting good at giving and receiving love and forgiveness and compassion. With whom will you gather? So that more and more, this becomes more and more koinonia, the place of sharing and compassion and love, all centered around the reality of the living God. And as we do, we become more and more the living people of hope.
Thank you for listening to Voices of Hope. If you've enjoyed our podcast, please rate and review it and share it with your friends. Go in peace and have a wonderful week.